All right. We love you so much. Thanks again for being here. I don't want to delay anymore. I want to just go ahead and turn this over. I am Pastor Brad, but I am going to relieve the pulpit. And if you call this a pulpit, I'm going to relieve the table. How about that? But I'm going to turn it over to some great friends of mine that have been in our ministry for a long, long time. I've watched their children grow up. I'm a little sad today because Tatiana, their daughter, who I've known since she was 2, went to the prom yesterday. So, you know, I haven't gotten any older, just the kids have. So we've gotten better, right? Right, adults? All right. But I love these folks. They're very, very special to me, and I appreciate them so much. And you're going to have a great time. Go ahead and get your message notes out today, and you want to jot some things down. They're going to give you a lot of information that's going to be very practical, very helpful. So just write everything down. They'll tell you how to maybe tap into some resources after they get through. And we're just going to have a great time. So Spring Hill Church, would you do me a big favor and help me welcome Reggie and Natisha Wilkins to the stage today? Yeah. Come on, let's make some noise.
Good morning. How you guys doing today? I am very relaxed because I'm talking about a topic that I am very, very familiar with, and you are too. We're going to talk about money today, guys. And before I do that, I just want to say you guys do really look good out there. Y'all make me look really good, actually. And I want to say that I'm very happy to see some friends outside of church that decided to come this morning. I want to just acknowledge Harvey and Carla and Alexander and his fiance. Thank you guys for coming, man. But it was a setup. I set them up. And I want to just also acknowledge my beautiful wife of Natisha. We've been married 19 years, guys, last month. Yeah, and I realized something, too. She is a blessed soul to have me. No, I'm just messing. I'm just messing. I married way up when I got this one right here. And I mean that sincerely, that I married way up. So I thank God for you, Natisha, and for everything that you do for my our family, and definitely for me and our children. So, and love to be a partner in crime with you in ministry, because I feel very much more comfortable up here with you doing this. So I just want to acknowledge you, and I sincerely mean that. She know. I'm a jokester too, but yeah, that's a deposit in my love bank. We ain't talking about that other bank. This is love bank. So I want you to get that. Don't get it twisted. All right. So we're going to talk about finances today, and we happen to stumble upon this in our 19 years of marriage. Financial Peace University. You guys ever heard of Dave Ramsey? Dave Ramsey is the man, and I tell you, he's taught our family a whole lot about finances. And what we're going to do, he uses the centerpiece of his whole philosophy about money, and he uses the 7 baby steps. The 7 baby steps is that plan for your money that gives you some direction so you don't get overly consumed about what should I be doing now and what should I be doing later. It gives you step-by-step instructions so you can just follow along, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about today in very simple, simplistic terms. And I want to say this, that me and Natisha are just like you. We're on the quest to becoming debt-free. So we're just an average couple trying to make it like you guys out there in the audience. So don't think we are up here on this pedestal thinking that we got it together. We struggle. We have our challenges, but we're challenging. We're being challenged, but we are making adjustments as we go. Amen. So let's get started. You got your message notes, right? So the 7 baby steps. This is what the 7 baby steps does for us. It gives us a plan of how we're going to use our money, because we need a plan. And the baby steps just gives us that plan and direction that we need. The next thing that it does, it gives us focus on what we should be doing one step at a time. instead of just jumping, like I said earlier, instead of jumping all over the place, when you do that, you tend to get overwhelmed by money because you're trying to pay off the creditors, you're trying to pay for college, and you're trying to pay off debt. That can get overwhelming. So these steps just calms us down, get us resetted, and so that we can face this monster called debt one step at a time. Because the only way to beat an elephant or eat an elephant is what? One bite at a time. All right? And by the way, these seven baby steps, millions, and I'm saying millions, what is 6 zeros? How many zeros is millions? A bunch of zeros. Millions of people have done this plan and it's worked for them. And at the end of the lesson, we're going to show an actual testimony of someone here in Charlotte that did it, what we're talking about. Okay? The last thing is, it provides us with a sense of control and power over our money. How many of you want control and power over your money? Because when your money is funny, we ain't happy, are we? I know I'm not. Anyway. So the first thing we need to do, I call this baby step 0.5. You need to establish a budget. That dreaded word, yeah, I said it, budget. Okay? Yeah, preach. Yeah, wait, is there amen out there? We have to know where our money is going. And, you know, I know it's hard for us to face the reality that we got some stuff going on with our money. But the only way to attack money is you got to know what you have in-house. You got to see where you need to go and where you're going. All right? The paper, that budget, now becomes what? The boss of your money. You got to let the paper become the boss of your money. Zig Ziglar said, people who win at anything have a written goal. Money won't behave unless you tame it. And another one I'm going to add, manage money works harder. I'm telling you, once you start managing money, it obeys you. And when you put it on paper, it lines up with what you tell it to do. Give every single item on your budget a name. Even if it's blow money, give it a name. Blow money. That's what I'm going to blow my money on. Okay? P.T. Barnum said, money is an excellent slave and a horrible master. Let that marinate for a minute. So, this is not in your notes. Luke 14 and 28 talks about if you decide to build a house, would you build a house without a blueprint? Come on, guys, would you? So why would you try to manage your money without a budget? You got to count the costs. You got to see where you are. And so that's what we were talking about. So the first step is, 0.5 of the baby steps is you got to establish a budget. And that budget must be done before the next month comes in. Let me move on. Go ahead, Natisha, because I done said some serious stuff there.
So, for people who know me, I am formerly a teacher of 14 years, but also a career counselor. So I'm gonna step in my teaching mode. You all may have heard me talk about the 5 P's: prior planning prevents poor performance. My daddy taught me that. I'll say it again. Prior planning prevents poor performance. The 5 P's. So when Reggie was talking about the 0.5, you must have a budget. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain so you can read and run with it. So we have a budget, 7 steps. You can post it on your refrigerator, your mirror, your car, you have little cards. Write the vision so you can stay focused. You have to create a zero-based budget. Like he said, a couple of days before that month actually comes in so that you are focused and know where all your money is going. This is not in your notes, but God holds nothing back from you, and he'll do whatever needs to be done to help you fulfill your goal.
So baby step one, this is the first thing we need to do is you need to put $1,000 to start an emergency fund. You're saying, what is an emergency fund? And if it is $500 if your income just happens to be below $20,000. Now, this step is necessary because you want to have a little cushion to absorb the little unplanned expenses once you start paying off debt. You need that cushion because as you endeavor to go and tackle these other steps, you need a buffer so that the other things that come up along the way as you start budgeting, you don't want those things to disrupt your flow. So that's the money you pull from when you need it so that you don't scramble around trying to find it in your budget. You've already put it aside. That's your buffer money. That's your cushion. Okay? And you know what happens? Y'all know what Murphy's Law is. If it can happen, it will. Guess what happens when you actually establish a emergency fund? It's a Murphy repellent. Murphy don't come. I kid you not. When I did not have $1,000 in my savings, it was like my life was an old country song. I mean, stuff just happened. But when I got that $1,000 in place, man, stuff just started. Like, I can't go up in that house no more because they got their stuff together.
Now, stuff still happened, but instead of us depending on the credit card, because they will catch your emergency, instead of us depending on that, we were able to go to that $1,000 and then replenish it right back. So some of you probably have noticed my shirt. Frugal is the new cool. So when you're doing your baby step number one, 1,000 in the emergency fund or 500 if your income is less than 20,000, you're going to have to do some things differently. Everybody say different. You're going to have to do some things different. And it's just for a season. You know, we all go through seasons. It's not for a lifetime. It's just for a season that you have to tweak some things. You have to be frugal on some things. You might have to work. Go to the GW Boutique. Everybody know what the GW Boutique is? The Goodwill Boutique. It's okay. They still have tags on some of their clothes. Well, you might have to sell some things. You might have to sell so much that your children might think they are next. It's no more borrowing. It is time for you to actually break the cycle of debt. And that might require you to do some different things just for a season. Say season.
Baby step two. Y'all ready for this? Yeah. Pay off all debt using the debt snowball except your house. We're not going to tackle the house yet. We're going to tackle all consumer debt that you have. And here's what you need to do. You need to list the smallest debt first up to the largest debt. And you're going to continue to pay the minimum payments on the other debts that you're not on the debt that debts. You're going to pay the minimum payments on the other debts, but the debt that you're currently on, you're going to pay the minimum plus whatever extra money that you get on that current debt. Once you pay that off, you're going to snowball the payment that you were paying on that current debt, roll it over to the next debt. And you see how the snowball keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and to the point you're going to be paying $1,000 on a debt at a time. And you know why? It's possible because, remember, you've already started learning some skills on how to get that $1,000, and you can carry that over to the baby step two. You said them skills you learned to get that $1,000 very quickly. And by the way, I'm going back to step one, but don't go back on the slide. You need to do whatever you can to get that $1,000 very quickly. If you got it, praise God. But if you don't, you need to get it quick. Because I'm telling you, it's a Murphy repellent. All right?
Proverbs 6, 4, and 5 says, give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. When you are doing baby step number two, paying that debt snowball, it depends on your life, because we started, we stopped. Our daughter's getting ready to go to college, so some money has freed up. We started, we stopped.
Praise you, Jesus.
We have one more after that. But depending on how fast you want to get out of debt, is the intensity that you have to put towards that.
Because the steps work. It's how much we put into them.
And we don't want you having anybody ruling over you. God said, oh, no man, anything but to love. All right? We want to be the one giving out the money, not the one borrowing the money.
Amen.
Yeah, I like that. Amen.
So in other words, when you are over your head with money problems, you need to work as hard to get out of debt as a gazelle works to run from a cheetah. Y'all know what a gazelle is? It comes from the antelope species. And you know what the... He's over there laughing. So you didn't expect that to come, did you? So I did my homework, Pastor Brad. But seriously, the cheetah has a prey. And that prey is what? The gazelle. Now, cheetahs are very, very fast. Let me tell you how fast they are. They go up to speeds of 70 to 75 miles per hour. That's pretty quick, okay? So the gazelle doesn't have a chance, right? Wrong. Because gazelles have learned that the cheetah's speed is limited to straight line running. So the gazelle bobs and weaves and runs in circles until the cheetah gets tired and he gives up. Okay, we're going somewhere with this now. The cheetahs are better known as credit card companies. Can I say it again? Credit card companies. And are always trying to figure out some way to lure us in with another offer. I get them every week. Okay? So, you got to figure out some way to lure you in. They got to try to figure out some way to lure you in with an offer you can't refuse. It's always an offer you can't refuse. And if you are a gazelle intense, you will refuse. In other words, you're running for your freaking life. Because the gazelle is trying to run for his life. That's how you got to be. So the next time you get that new credit card application, I want y'all to do something for me. They promise you that low introductory rate. It's such a sweet deal, it seems like, doesn't it? I want you to yell something. I want you to yell, cheetah! Every time you see it, I want you to say, cheetah!
Let's practice that. 1, 2, 3.
Cheetah!
And destroy it as quickly as you can. Because in other words, you can't build wealth, keep accumulating debt. That's the idea we're trying to present here. And when you're playing with that multi-billion dollar business, they know what they're doing. They have done their homework. They psychologically know when to send that stuff. And they know when your credit is starting to creep up. That's when they start sending more of those letters. Y'all ever notice that? When your credit starts getting better, you start getting more letters in the mail? I know I do.
And especially since everything is on the internet and we're always shopping on the internet, algorithms. They are studying you. Algorithms. They know. So they're going to start mailing those things.
So the cheetah is on your tail, guys. So you got to run like crazy. One more time. When you get the offers, what are you going to say?
Cheetah!
Y'all good.
All right, so let's talk about the steps out of debt. The first thing is quit borrowing more money. The number two is you must save your money. Everybody say save.
Save.
Just like my shirt said, frugal is the new cool. In order to do what we're saying to do, you have to cut back for a season. Number three, sell something. You have to sell something. We know you have a lot of things in your garage and in your attic. Instead of going to garage sales yourself to buy more stuff, have your own garage sale. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get that $1,000 fast. Just fast. Try to get it fast. And then number four, part-time job. Now, job stands for just over broke. We just need it just for part-time because we're trying to get that money going.
That wasn't in her notes either.
Just came to me. And then number five, prayer really works.
Yes, it does.
Another five P's that I have been taught is by Priscilla Shire. And she talks about the five spiritual P's. Position yourself to hear from God about your money. Get in a quiet place. Talk with your partner about what's going on. Pour over passages in the scripture, because the scripture is how he's going to speak to you. He's going to tell you in his word what he wants, what his commandments are, who he is, what his character is all about. Pull out those spiritual principles. Study those things. You've prayed. Just praise and thank him using the word that you have read in the scriptures. Pose the question or turn it into a self-directive. Am I doing what the scripture says? Do I believe what the scripture says, owing no man anything? Am I doing not getting into debt? Am I doing that? Am I creating an inheritance for my children's children? Do I believe that I should do that? So find those scriptures that relate to you and your situation and keep practicing and keep talking about it, because the enemy is going to come and he's going to tell you, uh-oh, the washing machine broke down, the car broke down, something is breaking down. We got to go with children. We have sports. Some more money coming out of pocket. It's summertime. We got to find somebody to take care of our children while we're still working. All those things are going to come before you, but you got to keep that word in your mouth. And then the last P is plan obedience and pin down the date. When are you going to actually be obedient and let's get out of debt? When are you going to do that?
Baby step three. 3 to 6 months of expenses and savings. Now, this step is a continuation of step one. You remember what was step one? Now, this is like the continuation of that step. But this step now, we're on step three, is where you're going to make a full emergency fund to be where you can put in up to about $10,000 to $15,000. And you say, Reggie, that's a lot of money. But you got to remember something. You've already put aside $1,000, right? And guess what? What was baby step two? You have no more debt but your house. You got utilities, and you have a whole bunch of more money where you're going to be able to increase that 3 to 6 months of expenses on baby step three really, really quickly, because now you don't have that extra debt that's holding you down. Amen? So you see how it's all coming together now? So sit down. I want you to calculate how much you need to live on 3 to 6 months. For some, it's $10,000, and for many, it's about $15,000. So basically, you're talking about your mortgage and basically food and utilities. That's pretty much all you're talking about, right? So this pile of cash will make sure you aren't caught off guard by a job layoff or a leaky roof. Now you're sitting pretty. You're at peace now and say, yeah, come on, leaky roof. I'm ready for you now because my pockets are full right now. But don't get too cocky now and start going back to those old habits, though. Okay, because you got that 3 to 6 month savings there as cushion, a bigger size cushion where you're in, where you've got a cushion for your life and debt. Okay, so keep your emergency fund in a simple checking account or money market account with check writing privileges, because you may need to get to it. You don't need to put it in an investment because it's going to be hard to get it and you're going to be penalized for it. So get it in a money market account. Okay, guys. All right.
One thing I wanted to say is we're not doing all the steps at once. We do step one. We don't go to step two until we've done step one. Mm-hmm. We do not move on. After you've done one, it's done, then you go to two. You don't do three until number two is finished. That might take some time. I'm just going to be honest. We're still on number two.
And it takes a long time depending on where you are. Everybody's life is different. So don't think because we're on two, Lord knows why they're up here, because we decided to live sometime, to live too.
Yeah, we did.
And I told you earlier, we're just an average couple that decided that, hey, we want to be able to live a little bit. But for some reason, we've become re-energized about these steps, and we're really going to kick it in gear since Tata's leaving. Praise God. Well. Remember, this stash of money is not an investment. It is insurance you're paying to yourself. It's a buffer between you and your life. Okay?
So you should save for three basic reasons. Number one, save for an emergency fund. Number two, you're saving for purchases. And then number three, you're saving for wealth building. Proverbs 21:20 says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice, food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." A foolish man devours all he has.
Even God said we're supposed to save.
Because a rainy day is going to come. When is it going to rain? Don't know. But is it going to come? It's going to come.
You always say, Reggie, she always say, Reggie, the people tell me, Reggie, be positive. I said, I'm positive. A rainy day is going to come. Baby step 4. I wish it was just quick to get through them in actuality, but it's not. Baby step 4, invest 15% of household income into Roth IRAs and tax-advantaged retirement accounts. Now, I have no way I'm going to try to get into all the investments, tools, and stuff right now because there's not enough time, right? But I want to say that the 15% is just an approximation, guys. It's just a start. With no payments, think about this, with no payments and a full emergency fund, putting 15% towards a retirement of your dreams is really not that hard anymore. Remember, we've gotten through three steps now. We got a lot of income, which is our major tool to get out of debt. See, your income is your tool. Is that Jesus? I always wanted to do that, and I had my opportunity to do it. find the fit or account that's perfect for you. The money you were using to attack debt can now help you build your future. Think about it. This step is all about building long-term wealth. So take 15% of your gross household income and invest it into an account. Possibly, hopefully, your company matches it. But if they don't, just invest at least 15%. As we get at the end of the lesson, we're going to tell you, you can put it into overdrive. You can put more than 15%. But right now, it's just an approximation because you got your kids' college and you also want to pay off that house, but which you haven't gotten there yet. Okay?
So completing baby step number 4, you have to have a dream meeting with your spouse or accountability partner. You all have to sit down and talk about it. And when you come to our class that we're going to be offering, you're going to find out who's the free spirit who likes to spend all the time and who likes to save. So you do have to have a meeting. Where do you want to go? How soon do you want to retire? You have to have that meeting. You have to write that down, that vision. Write the vision down and make it plain. You have to know what the numbers are. You also have to identify the gaps. You want to explain the gaps?
Well, the gap is just you got to find out where you are when you plan to retire and decide how much time that I have and how much I need to put in retirement once I get to this step to get to that goal that you're trying to get at. You understand? The gap between where you are in your age and where you plan to retire. It's just that simple. But you ain't got there yet, so don't worry about it.
Numbers change when people do.
Mm-hmm.
When you decide to make that change, things are, you know, that the ship that's in the water and is trying to turn, you might not think anything is happening, but it's turning. When you decide that you put your foot down, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this together. And we're going to have some accountability partners to keep us on the right path to make sure it is accomplished. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." We have some things in our hearts, things that we might think are right, but finding it in the Word to match what we're doing, you will never go wrong. So baby step number 5, college funding for children. And some of you all may be saying, well, why is that number 5? Why isn't that before retirement? We're going to talk about that because a lot of people don't like that step that Dave talks about, putting the college fund before after retirement. College funding for children. By step 5, you paid off all your debts but the house, and you started retirement savings. Now it's time to save for your kids' college expenses. College tuition and housing expenses continue to rise. How many of you are seeing that the tuition is rising to the point where some people are not going to a 4-year? That tide is changing as well, where we find, and I work with students in high school where I'm telling them, and telling the parents, you may want your child to go to community college while they're still in high school. That's called the dual enrollment program. So I know in CMS, they pay full tuition for students to do that, for the students to go to college while they're in high school to take college classes for free. Everybody say free.
Free.
I like that word. You're going for free. Saving now will put you ahead of the game when your kids graduate from high school. So an education savings account, an ESA, is one way that you can do that, to fund in growth stock mutual funds, an ESA. Or you can use a 529 college saving fund to do that. Both are tax advantage saving vehicles that let you save money for your kids' education and their expenses.
These plans are just specific for college prone kids, so just remember that those are the type of accounts you want to put that money in, okay?
You can pay for college if you, number one, select an affordable school. Mm-hmm. I find this a lot working with students, that they have some lofty goals. Sometimes they're unable to do that. My question to them is, do you need to have it right now? Or can you still get it later down the road? If it's I can still get it later down the road, well, then let's create a plan to get you there. Got to have a plan. Doesn't mean you, as soon as you get out of high school, you have to go to that lofty school. You don't have to go right now. You might have to take some time, and that's okay. Aim for scholarships. Very important. Hallelujah. Thank you. Aim for scholarships.
Feel you.
Aim for scholarships. And like I was saying, the dual enrollment program is wonderful. Students can either do on the college prep track, taking your general ed classes while they're still in high school. That's your freshman and sophomore classes. You can take those classes now. And even if you don't have children, you may know some people. You may have some family members that have children. Tell them, start telling them now to go talk to the high school, find the career development coordinator if they're in CMS. The career development coordinator, that's my job. Career development coordinator, and they will help you. They also have a program starting your 11th grade year. If a student kind of doesn't really like the high school feel, they can, and they have the GPA and the placement test scores, they can leave high school, go to Central Piedmont, finish high school there. That's called middle college. They can do the 11th, 12th grade at CPCC, take high school classes and some college classes, stay one more year, which is called the 13th year, and come out with an associate's degree for free. Everybody say free.
Free.
That's middle college.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
It's out there. Go to high schools and talk to your career development coordinator. Tell your friends.
Just like a teacher, too.
And another way you can pay for college is get a job. Plain and simple, just get a job. Amen?
Amen.
All right, baby step number 6. Pay off your home early.
Ooh.
Yes. There is only one more debt standing in the way of freedom from all debt, paying off the mortgage. Baby step 6 is the big one. Can you imagine a life with no house payment? Ooh, y'all felt that,
didn't you? Dwayne, I felt it too, buddy. Okay, put your dukes down. Get ready to say something. Put your dukes down for a minute here. It is not wise to keep your home mortgage as a tax deduction.
Mm.
What could you do if you had no payments? Any extra money you can put towards the mortgage will result in thousands of dollars of interest saved and months or even years of not having a payment hanging over your head. Once you have that mortgage gone, you are going to have a much bigger gap between your income and your bills. Think about that. With that big gap, you can easily take on life challenges or changes. You can. Think about it. Stay focused, but here's what you got to do, though. You got to stay focused and intense and keep a steady pace, because this is what these steps are. They keep you steady and it keeps you on track, guys. And don't forget to celebrate each little victory that you get along the way, okay?
Now, this is a paradigm shift for some.
Yes.
Because we have several people in corporate are saying, you need that house so you can get that tax break. This is a paradigm shift. But it's a paradigm shift because we're following a plan. The plan is different. It's a different plan, okay? The rich rule over the poor borrower. The rich rule over the poor. The borrower is slave to the lender. That's Proverbs 22:7. We don't want to be slaves anymore. We want to have the money to do what we need to do, to live the life that we need to live, to enhance the kingdom of God. That's our focus.
Baby step 7, the last step, going through this really quickly. Build wealth, and guess what the other one is? And give like crazy now, though. You can give where you be granting wishes. You know, y'all hear what I just said? You'll be able to grant wishes, guys. That's awesome. So now here's where you can max out on your retirement. You can stop just investing 15%. You can max out as much as you want so that you can really maximize your opportunity to increase your opportunity to be a millionaire by the time you retire. All right? So but at the same time then, because you got some money freed up, you should be giving like crazy now, though, too. Okay, because now you have the resources. So we can truly now leave what? An inheritance for your children's children.
Well,
man, that's Tata's daughter or son. Wow.
Setting them up for life.
No more worries, no more needs, because we financially ready now, because we follow 7 simple steps.
They're simple, but they are hard.
Yes.
They are simple, but they are hard, and they're doable.
Yes.
We've had a lot of examples that we can, you know, always got to find a good example. We have a lot of examples that we can pattern ourselves after to see that it is possible. Your most powerful wealth-building tool that you have is your income.
But you need discipline with your income now.
You have to have discipline. Giving is possibly the most fun you will ever have with your money. How many of you just like to give? It just, when you go into a restaurant and it's time to tip the waiter or waitress and you can just give a little extra. Have you seen their face, their smile, sometimes their cry? Doesn't that make you feel good? What if you set yourself up where you can do that all the time? Not just because you're going to be taken care of. When you have that giving spirit, you're going to be taken care of. God is going to make sure that you are taken care of.
And this is not in my notes. This is straight off the cuff. Y'all supposed to say, uh-oh, it's coming now. You know the scripture says about being a cheerful giver. Now, can you not be cheerful when you got a whole stack of money in the bank? You won't be grudgingly giving then. You're going to promptly give then, because you know I ain't worrying about Duke Power turning my lights off. Think about it. And that's what I believe the spirit of that scripture is that you can give cheerfully without any need or worry, because you are straight now. You're in a good place and you're and all that good stuff. So
now, you know, like we said, baby step 1 and 2, frugal is the new cool. Mm-hmm. Baby step number 7, debt free is the new sexy.
You got that right. You better believe that. Yes, sir. All right, so before we show this testimony of this couple right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, they paid off $50,000 in a year, guys, right here in Pineville, North Carolina. And, you know, it's funny because when we were preparing for this message, I was half asleep, and I had a TV on, which she gets on me about a lot. And they showed like a teaser of what was going to come on the 5 o'clock news. And it was somebody getting out of debt. But I had no idea. So what I did was I DVR'd it so I could watch it when I got home. I had no idea that this couple had gone through Dave Ramsey's class. So when I got home, she was like, Reggie, you need to see this. I said, I know, it's the...
I didn't know. I thought it was the Lord. It's like, ooh, it came on and it was taped. I didn't know he taped it.
Now, I know, and I taped it, but I really didn't know it was that the couple had gone through Dave Ramsey, but I knew it was about a couple getting out of debt. And when I saw it, I was like, I know we're on the right track. I know we were supposed to be doing this today. And how about this? So I work at the Charlotte Rescue Mission, and we often have a lot of volunteers come in just to find ways in which they can give. But it's a treatment center, but we get everything through the generosity of people here in Charlotte. We get everything from private donors. So my paycheck comes from private donors. You could be possibly paying my bills. Thank you if you are one of those people. So there was one of the coworkers was just bringing a pastor around. And guess what? The pastor happened. Look, this is crazy. The pastor was the pastor of the couple in the video that you're about to see. And I was like, wow, you got to be kidding me. And guess what? The couple said, how is this going to help somebody? Before they actually did the interview, they was like, how is this going to help somebody? And I said, well, on Sunday, May 21st, about 100 plus people are going to be blessed by their testimony. So I want you to tell them that we're going to show this video here on Sunday. So isn't it amazing when people actually get out of debt, they actually become a little bit more humble. They become blessed, and they realize that this story needed to be told because the pastor kind of talked them into it. And I was thanking them so much because it gave us an opportunity to kind of reinforce the things that we're talking about today.
Can't you see that this is the time?
Yes, it is. It's the time.
This is the time, you all. It's the time to get out of debt. It is the time. Do you feel it? It's the time to get out of debt. All right. Ooh, that was good. All right. So we're going to show this video.
Recent figure says the average person owes $62,000.
But here's something you don't hear very often. A local couple went from being $50,000 in the hole to debt-free in 1 year. They agreed to share their personal story with Action 9 investigator Jason Stujanki. Maybe you can learn something to turn around your finances, too.
Right there.
Frank and Teresa Brown can flip through their finances now with pride.
Phone, mobile.
200.
But not too long ago.
How much in debt were you?
Over 50.
You heard right. More than $50,000 in debt. A chunk of it, credit card debt.
The wants were way more than the needs.
So you decided to take a class, the well-known program, Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University.
It's about choices.
The first step, make a budget. See exactly where your money's going.
We were really pretty stupid with what we were doing with our money.
Then save $1,000 as quickly as possible, so when unexpected expenses pop up, and they do, it doesn't throw you into a tailspin.
That's your emergency fund for those kinds of things.
Then identify your smallest loan and put all of your efforts into paying that one off.
Regardless of interest rate.
Then save 3 to 6 months of living expenses for extra cushion.
Where do you go play?
As for the credit card debt, the Browns did some serious belt tightening. They stopped buying anything they didn't truly need. No more travel, no more eating out. And that's where a lot of their money was going.
Because that adds up.
Basically, yeah. Eating your way through your retirement.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In just 1 year after all of that.
And you guys are debt-free now?
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Relieved.
They even paid off their house. Impressive, even to this financial advisor.
Their story is really amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's unbelievable.
Since heavy debt can be so overwhelming, I asked him what he tells people to help them get started.
So it's kind of like taking baby steps and eating an elephant one bite at a time.
Not only did the Browns do it, they're now teaching others at Matthews United Methodist.
You are bigger than any financial challenge we will ever face.
Spreading the wealth, so to speak.
And we're seeing the impact on other people, and it's a gift.
And their son is following in their footsteps. He's 21 and in college, but with no student loans, no car loan, no credit card debt. And he's already, get this, saving for retirement.
It was more important for me to live financially secure or financially free and be more independent than necessarily be kind of slave to the lender.
A slave to the lender. Something he and his parents definitely are not.
Has it brought you guys closer?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In South Charlotte, Jason Stujanki, Channel 9, Eyewitness News.
Well, it can be hard to know where to start attacking your debt.
Isn't that awesome?
WSOC-TV.com.
Can you say, thank you? Woo, that's good.
So it's possible.
Okay, so now what?
There you go.
We're going to offer you an opportunity to enroll in a Financial Peace University class here at Spring Hill. Thursday, June the 22nd, is when we're going to start our first class at 7 p.m. This is a 9-week session, 1 day per week. When you actually get in the class, if we need to adjust some dates, we'll do that as well. But that'll happen when you get in the class. And the registration and class materials will be $99.
You're wondering, oh, Lord, you just talking about getting out of debt, and you're telling me to get in debt. You can't look at it like that. Paradigm shift. This is an investment. And the thing about Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University, guys, you get to keep the materials forever. The videos that you're watching the class, you get to keep those videos in a CD format, but you get to go to classes forever. You're a lifetime student of Financial Peace University. So it's one time $99, and that's all you pay. And the materials that they give you is what we use to present this class today. So it is invaluable. I'm telling you, it is an investment into your future. Okay?
I'm going to leave you with this last scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. 2 Corinthians 9:8. That's my favorite scripture. You're going to be furnished in abundance. Say abundance. Abundance. In abundance for every good work and charitable donation.
Did you guys get anything from this today?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Before we close, we're going to review. I used to be a teacher, too. So as a good teacher, we got to go back and review what we learned today. So what's baby step one? Look at your notes. What's the first one? Okay. Number two? Now I want you to say this one really loud. Baby step three? Mm-hmm. Number four?
That's 15%.
Okay. All right. You can skip five if you want to. No. Was baby step five? Baby step six. And baby step seven. Amen. And before we depart, I want you to remember, when those credit card companies start soliciting you, what are you going to say?
Cheater!
Thank you guys for allowing us the time to speak to you.
Thank you, Reggie and Tish. Appreciate you. Come on, let's give it up for them. Amen.